The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The gospel is still under siege. This is part two of a new short series we're doing on a sequel to one of Zane Hodges' books. What was the motivation for Bob Wilkin to write this sequel? We'll talk about that today here on Grace in Focus. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We'd love for you to know more about us and about our online seminary. It is time now for you to apply if you want to study with us this fall. And if you're already a student, it's time to get registered. Find all that information at gesseminary.org. Now, here with today's discussion about the gospel under siege is Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Last time we spoke about Zane Hodges' Gospel Under Siege. Today we're going to talk about the sequel, your book, which was 42 years in the making. The Gospel is Still Under Siege, which you published last year back in 2023. So what prompted you to write this book?
You know, this book basically goes all the way back to how I came to faith in Christ. And you can read about that in the prologue. I talk about how I came to faith. But kind of a funny story, I kind of mimic my father in some ways because my dad would always say that he was baptized as an Episcopalian, that in his pivotal years, like in his teen years, he was a Southern Baptist, and he was baptized again as a Southern Baptist. Then as an adult, when he married, he left the Southern Baptist Church. But when he married, he was baptized again, Eastern Orthodox, because my mom was Eastern Orthodox and the whole Serbian side of my family is Serbian Orthodox. So he was christened or baptized again as a Orthodox. And so he said he had a very jumbled religious background. In fact, when he met with my grandfather, Jedo, in Serbian, to talk about marrying my mom, my grandfather asked him, well, what's your religion? And when he told him his background, He said he doesn't even know what his religion is. He was kind of upset about that. After he married and had kids, he became a Methodist, a United Methodist, and he was an usher in the United Methodist Church. And my experience is kind of the same. At age six, my parents enrolled me in a religious boys' club that they didn't know, but it was a sinless perfection holiness group. They basically taught that you had to turn from your sins and clean up your life and be good enough so that when your opportunity came, you could give your life to Christ. The leader of this, it was basically a cult, taught that it would come sometime between the ages of 5 and 20. And typically on a Sunday, and you had to be ready, and you would go forward and give your life to Christ if you had prepared enough. So it was a combination of preparationism and also sinless perfection, because he taught that you, if you were lucky enough to be born again, you had to live a sinless life, because if you sinned even one sin, You'd lose your salvation and you couldn't regain it.
Wow.
So it was extreme. So that was at age six. But then also during this time, I was going to the United Methodist Church with my dad.
Yeah.
It was very liberal. The pastor did not believe in life after death. He thought heaven and hell were here on earth. And my parents made me quit this group I was in at age 14. But I continued sneaking down there because I thought they were the only way to heaven. One of my only friends from high school was from that group, because they taught us to be afraid of everybody and everything. They could all lead us astray. And I remember my friend John Carlson, he went to University of Southern California. I went to UC Irvine. And John went to Expo 72 in Dallas, and he came to faith through Campus Crusade for Christ. That led him to go to Expo 72. And when he came back, I believe I was one of the people on his list that he wanted to evangelize. So I remember in the late summer of 72, he came to me and said, Bob, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong?
But so at that point, you actually already believed many truths about Jesus.
I was convinced he died on the cross for my sins. I was convinced he rose bodily from the dead. I was convinced that he was God in the flesh. I believed in the Trinity. I believed he was coming again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty orthodox in my views about Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but I believed in work salvation, extreme work salvation. Mm-hmm. In other words, you had to stay sinless. It wasn't just perseverance. It was perseverance on steroids.
Right. You couldn't sin again after you whatever this life-changing event that you had to make at some point in your life, right?
Yeah. In fact, in my view, the cult taught that smoking was sin. So you smoked one cigarette after being born again, you're going to hell. Wow. It also taught that cussing was sin. So one cuss word said after you're saved and you lost your salvation. In fact, it was funny. When John said, is it possible you hear the gospel is wrong, I prayed about it, and he had invited me to a Campus Crusade for Christ college life meeting at USC. So I decided to go because I thought, what if I end up going to hell after giving up everything and you know, avoiding sports, avoiding people, and you know, I became a leader at this cult group. And I gave that all up, and I still went to hell. And I thought,
that'd be the ultimate raw deal. You gave up everything, and you got nothing.
Right.
The Grace Evangelical Society Seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2024 fall semester. All classes are online, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply. And if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
I ended up and prayed about it, went to the meeting. I heard three different staff members with Campus Crusade for Christ give their testimony, and they talked about grace and free gift and faith alone. And I was like, you know, that seems too easy. And then after the meeting, two of the students who were involved, one of them lit up a cigarette and another one cussed. And I said, well, these people can't be saved because one smoked and one cussed. And John said, well, maybe there's a difference between what it takes to become a Christian, which is faith in Christ, and growth in the Christian life. And I was like, wow, that's a new concept, because I thought you started out perfect, and you either stayed perfect or you went to hell. So he gave me the name of Campus Crusade for Christ, which was actually Athletes in Action at my campus. I called them up. They set up an appointment, and I met with Warren Wilkie. And for five sessions, I kept talking to Warren about, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, and I want to be sure. And he was like a broken record. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. So I would say, well, that seems too easy. What about James 2:14-26?
Wow, you already knew about James 2 back then.
Oh, yeah. I'd read through the Bible multiple times in high school because the cult encourages us to read the Bible.
Yeah. So although you knew a lot about and believed a lot of truth about Jesus, you didn't actually have everlasting life then.
No, I mean, I thought I might, because I had a feeling when I was 16, when I invited Jesus in for probably the 500th time, because I thought the way you did it was you invited him in, and if you invited him in the right way, with the right attitude, with the right preparation, if it was your time. So with all those caveats, if that happened, and I had a feeling at 16, but I wasn't sure. And so Warren kept talking to me about the way you have assurance is because you believe Jesus promised that the one who believes in him is saved forever. And it was like, well, I didn't believe in once saved, always saved. I thought you could lose it. I remember asking about James 2. He gave a short answer, but then he said, but whatever that means, it can't contradict, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we met five times. And each time I would point out objections. What about Hebrews 6? What about Hebrews 10? What about... And I went through passage after passage after passage and objection after objection, and he'd always come back to Ephesians 2:8-9. And in the fifth hour when I met with Warren, I finally got it, and I believed. And at that point, I was sure that I was saved once and for all. For me, that was the gospel under siege. What I had learned in the cult group And of course, what I had heard in church, that there is no life after death, there is no everlasting life, all of that was a siege on what Jesus was teaching and what he promised. And so I came to faith in Christ through the witness of John Carlson and then Warren Wilkie. I came to believe this message, which to me seemed too easy. It was so easy, it was hard.
It was hard for you to believe that.
Yeah, I just thought, that can't be. Everybody would be wrong.
Right.
I mean, not only was my cult group saying that, but pretty much every church I had ever visited said you had to commit your life to Christ, and you had to follow him, and you had to persevere till the end of your life.
Yeah, all your experiences up to that point of Christianity were always some sort of works type of salvation message. This was something different that you had heard for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And the amazing thing was, Warren didn't go to the four spiritual laws and walk me through the four laws, which has that message in there, and it has the idea that it's by grace, through faith, apart from works. But it could be a bit confusing because the four laws also has inviting Jesus to be on the throne of your life and some other things that can be a bit confusing. And I'm just so glad that he focused on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and kept hammering that.
Yeah.
By grace, through faith, apart from works, and I got it. That is why I wrote The Gospel is Still Under Siege, is because that's what led me to come to faith. And by the way, back in 2006, at our annual conference, we had a big controversy over this issue. Because it turned out about half the people at our conference said they were born again before they believed that they were saved once and for all.
So in their view, you were actually born again when Warren presented to you Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You just didn't know it. Is that
right? They would basically say, I was born again when I invited Jesus in my heart back at age 16 or maybe back at age 14, because I did believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I did believe he was God. And so even though I was confused about work salvation, they would say, I believe the essential components of his death, burial, resurrection, deity. I would say, no, what I write about in this book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, some of the people who call themselves free grace would disagree about some of the things I write in this book. They feel I'm wrong when I say that you must be convinced that what you have is irrevocable.
Yeah.
And we'll go through in the various chapters. In fact, we'll do a short series on The Gospel is Still Under Siege. But my aim here is to help all of us think through what is the saving message and how can we be clear.
Thank you, Bobby, and we look forward to the further discussions. And remember,
keep
grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On the next episode, more about the gospel under siege. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.